Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Make it six straight losses, panic in Calgary, underperforming players, and some fingers getting pointed at Coach Sutter. Good evening and welcome to this edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. Kyle, good to have you with us.
Yes, you're going to get a very angry version of me this time around.
Me too. You know, I'm not going to lie. Last night after the game was over, I threw my phone on the couch. I throw it at the couch because it won't break then, but threw my phone down to the couch and I said, I just need a day off from the Flames. I need a freaking day off from the Flames.
Yeah, so what do we do with the day off? We talk about them.
Yeah, and I sat down and I thought, oh, crap. I needed a day off from the Flames watching them. I need a day off from Flames Twitter. And I thought, oh, shit, now I got to go talk about them for an hour and try to show a glimmer of hope. I don't know. Is it out there?
I'll tell you my story about last night, actually. Because I don't think I had a chance to tell you this yet. So I'm sitting on the couch watching the game, and I'm having a hard time staying into it. It's, you know, it was late here and whatever, but hoping they can pull it off. Then I have to go to the rink to play hockey, or so I think. I get down to the rink, I walk into the lobby, and all the guys are standing there, and I said, why aren't we in the room? What's going on? I guess our ice time was last night, and Buddy just screwed up the schedule. So we all drove down there, couldn't play, they wouldn't give us the ice, even though it was empty, because we weren't on the schedule. We all threw our gear back in our trucks, and everybody drove home. I drove home just to watch the last 8 minutes of that debacle, and try to get some sleep after that. So everything about hockey yesterday was frustrating for me.
Yeah, you know, this sounds so petty because, I mean, if some people are going to listen to this and think we're just real petty, but like, things don't go as smooth in my life when the Flames aren't winning.
I agree. And actually, it's funny that you say that because for the longest time when they were a really shitty team, throughout the mid to late 90s, early 2000s. I was so used to it back then, it didn't really affect me a lot.
We got immune to it. We expected it, though. Now we're expecting ourselves to be good.
Yeah.
So this is just a really tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, and somebody tweeted yesterday, I can't remember who it was or how they said it, but it was like, is this current losing streak indicative of the team? And my response to that was, well, it's just as indicative as the 5-1 start was. Like, we've seen both. So they probably weren't that good, but they're also not this bad. But this is also a team that still is hopefully figuring it out. But you said this before. Last year we had virtually no injuries. So far this year, ton of injuries. I mean, you can kind of include Shillington in that because he's not available, right?
I would consider
that. Look at the D we're dressing. I mean, it's crazy.
Plus we had every single player last year overachieve. I shouldn't say overachieve. Have career years. You're not going to replicate that. Like, you're just not.
No. I think people too, like, in all fairness to the players that came in, I think too many people, because of like point totals, equated like Huberdeau and Gaudreau or like Tkachuk to Kadri. And it's like, it's never that simple, right? Not to suggest that any one player is necessarily better than the other, but it's like, it's not just plug and play. It was never going to be just plug and play. No. Okay, here's a skilled left winger, replace him with a skilled left winger. Like, it doesn't work that simply.
My biggest thing that bugged me is like, I felt like, and I tweeted this last night, it's like, I felt like Jeff Ward was on the bench.
Yeah, I saw that
tweet. We're going to talk about that on the show today. Well, that's one of the things. Oh, hey, nope. Sledge hockey went all right last week.
That was really cool. I saw your text the next morning. That's awesome.
And I'm planning on playing again tonight too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Is it as difficult as it looks? It looks really difficult.
You know, honestly, I got taught a trick though. I got there, you know, so I don't know what I'm doing. And on the bottom of the sled and the back end, like under your ass, that's where the blade is at.
Right.
Now the good guys have the blade. There's two blades and they're really close together. Allows you to angle better. Turn. Okay. I got a hint going in and they said, hey, get blades far apart. It's easier to maneuver when you're first learning how. So I got a sled that was good And I could actually go find, you know what the hard part is shooting. And the real hard part is, you know, like you when you go, you kind of slide your hands up on the sticks and you use them to dig into the ice and push. Well, then the puck comes right to you. You got to quick slide it down to get control of the puck. That's hard to do. And then I stuck myself in the thigh like 3 times with the blade, with the spikes.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to maneuver and you're not used to doing it yet. So I don't know. It was fun though.
It was,
you know, and I was thinking too, I'm like, you know, like we had hardly any guys there too, which made it really hard because it was 5-on-5 then. And I'm like, there's no breaks. Like I'm going to die. And like, you know, senior men's night when you skate, it's like, you know how you get that super tired when you're short guys?
Yep.
It was like that, just not to the extent though, because you're sitting down. I did make the mistake. I felt bad after saying it, but they gave me a hard time and we joked about it. Is I was complaining because, you know, when you sit in those sleds, like, and you're strapped in, it's like sitting on a toilet, kind of like if you sit on a toilet too long, your legs go numb. And I said to one of the guys who plays on the U.S. Olympic team, and I said to him, like, oh, my legs are going numb. And he's like, oh, now you know how it feels. And I looked at him like, oh, geez, that's awful that I said that. Wow. But he was laughing. He's like, no, isn't it crazy though? How it just, your body just feels different in that situation. But,
No, if it's just something you're not used to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Although you could be very quickly by the sounds of it. This is week 2 of Brad's, much hockey training.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. You know what though? If anything, it's a lot of laughs. It's a good group of guys and a few gals and you know what? It's good exercise and it's easy to just not, especially this time of the year when it starts to get crappy and we're getting snow and it's garbagey outside. It's just easy to just say, I'll do that tomorrow or whatever, but it's good to get your ass out and you feel good about yourself when you get done. So
absolutely.
We got good news Saturday night. This is probably the only good news. This is probably the only good news we've had all week. And that's that Rick Ball's coming back to do play by play Saturday night.
Yeah. It's funny. I saw that same sentiment echoed all across Twitter and yeah, you're bang on. It really is the only good news right now, but it is big news. I mean, obviously his issue he's experiencing goes far beyond the realm of hockey. So it's awesome to know he's to the point he can go back to work. And I think it's going to be a little bit emotional, you know, when that broadcast begins. I mean, cause that was a pretty scary situation.
Absolutely. Kind of a reset and a second chance. And like, man, it's going to be good to have him back though. It's funny. Yeah. You don't know what you got till it's gone, right? Cause, it was
different. Was the best.
And that's not ripping on the guys that took over and filled in for him. Cause I thought Hunter Ryan Singh did a really good job. I honestly thought it went fine. It went fine. So.
Yeah, but it's like when you're a play-by-play guy, like it's like comfort food, right? Rick Ball's voice is just soothing for Flames fans. And I, you know, thinking back and all the guys that have done that job for the team, like he's right up there for me. He's some like the very best. Like it's weird to watch him play without his voice. So I'm super excited to see him back.
Don't throw me off the show for this, but I have a hard time if George Kanyon doesn't sing the national anthem. I like it. Or something about it. It's that Calgary.
You should have said that on the air before you asked me to co-host, because I think I actually do have some veto power here now. I'm not a George.
I know you're not. That's why I said it, man.
Yeah. He's just, I don't know. He's not bad. Like, he's not a bad singer at all.
You get used to things though, right, Kyle?
I still miss Heather Lascano, and that's been years.
Yeah. I know.
We're arguing about anthem singers now. That's how shitty things are going for the Flames.
All right, let's get on to the show. Today we're going to discuss the 4 games that we since we last talked. 2 at home, 2 on the road, 4 big losses, and then we'll roll through some Flames news, some injuries, call-ups. Coach Sutter has been taking some heat. We'll discuss that and give our take on the coaching situation, and then panic mode has hit the Calgary fan base. We'll touch on that a little bit, try to calm people down, take a breath. It's going to be okay. And then we'll wrap previewing 3 games against, more division leaders. That's what we got ahead. That should be a great, great week. Times are tough in Calgary, and sometimes talking Flames hockey is tough. And this is going to be an angry edition of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Kyle, let's get right to it. And let's start with the Nashville-Calgary game. 4-1 loss. Not a lot to talk about this game. Jankowski scores. That's typical.
That was predicted, too. Somebody on Twitter predicted that Jankowski was scoring his first game called up, and that's exactly what happened. So kudos to whoever said that.
It always happens. Worst effort of the year, in my opinion. Do you agree with me on that?
That was brutal. It was hard. There's not many games, especially with the Sutter coach team, that are like really hard to sit through the whole thing. But I was thinking of like rewatching old Netflix series, taking the dog for another walk he didn't need. Like I was looking for an excuse to not watch that, but I did.
I thought there should have been refunds issued as he left the Saddle Dome that night.
Oh, horrible.
Brutal.
Oh, we covered that game.
What's that?
We covered that game. On to the next one. Yep.
On to the next Saturday night. New Jersey comes to town. A much better New Jersey, and Calgary loses that one 4-3 in overtime. They did fight back to tie this one. I didn't think we were horrible, but not good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Execution, and this was echoed in last night's game too, but execution is severely lacking, and I found that was the case in that game. I thought the skating was decent. It's just, you know.
Looney and Backlund get benched.
Yeah.
What was your take on that?
Backlund made no sense to me. Lucic made all the sense in the world. Rooney, I don't notice him a lot of the time, which is not a bad thing at all. But
I think Rooney's been pretty darn good.
He's been very good in his role, I think.
You know, really in his role. I think he was a disappearing act that night and lost some key faceoffs. Lucic is just, we're going to get to that. He's just fucking slow. We're going to get to that. I would bench him for more than a period. But
that was going to be my comment, yeah.
Backlund, do you think that that was more of not so much? I think that was Sutter picking a veteran that he knows can handle it to send a message to some of the guys he's not sure that can handle it. Does that make sense?
Well, it's a possibility, and it's one of the only ones that has any logic behind it, even if it seems a bit illogical, because Backlund's play to me did not warrant a benching so much as it did with the others.
How bad was it when he gets on the ice in overtime and they frickin' score?
Ugh, yeah.
I'm just like, oh man. I know you were a big fan of Connor Mackey this night.
Yeah, I don't know if it was nerves or what, but this is a guy that I had high praise for last year who really looked like he could have stepped into a playoff game if he needed to and performed admirably, but he was absolutely horrific in that game. He made plays that if a guy drinks 3 beers in our dressing room before a pickup game, he wouldn't make plays that bad. Like, it was terrible.
I go back and forth on this one. I've always been a fan of his. I think the organization has too.
That's why they chased him, as he's a college free agent, right?
Yeah. And I think they've given him some chances that other people maybe didn't get. And I'm not talking about Valimaki. He did get chances. Yep. I think I'm conflicted on this because I cheer for Mackey. I think he's made some mistakes in this year. He looked better last year than this year.
Significantly.
But he's also in a different position on the team right now with Shillington gone. Is that it's kind of his time to take the horns.
Well, Shillington and Stone, right? Because even with just Shillington, he was still seventh, right? So he really got bumped up a couple spots from where he was in training camp.
I don't know. I'm not giving up on this guy. I know a lot of people on Twitter were freaking writing this guy off. He's history, gone from the organization pretty much that night.
Yeah.
And I, as much as he torqued me off that night, like come on. Zadorov threw a freaking pizza up the middle last night. And the only reason we weren't down there was because it was offsides, which had absolutely nothing to do with the horrendous turnover.
Well, that outside was like 45 seconds or 39 seconds for the goal, you know?
Well, so. I saw the entry was offsides, and it was so long that I had thought the puck had left the zone and come back again. Cause I was but I don't know. But again,
different standards. And I tweeted a bit about this too. Like, and I agree with you about Mackie. Now Mackie, I think should have sat last night, which is
me too. Me too.
That's what you do with a young guy. Yeah, but I wouldn't write him off completely.
No, I don't think, how can you? You know, and, you know, I kind of got pissed off too when the comment was made about our defensive depth is shit.
Yeah, I saw that a few times too.
I think that's the dumbest comment I've ever heard. We lost Valimaki because our defensive depth is good. Lots of teams we're playing our 9 and 10 defensemen right now.
But at the same time, like, Valimaki was not going to be a successful player in Calgary. That ship had sailed.
It wasn't. Yeah. And people can say, oh, look at how he's doing in Arizona. Oh, come on. Like, we tried. Like, it's not like we didn't give him any games.
Well, you want to go back, like, people go on all the time, but like, Martin Saint-Louis, he had like 18 minutes of ice time a game in Calgary. He just didn't put it together in Calgary. He did in Tampa, and it sucked, but he had opportunities in Calgary.
It happens, and it doesn't just happen to the Flames. I think the fan base sometimes thinks this only happens to the Flames.
Yeah.
This happens to all kinds of teams.
Yeah.
Teams have to put people on waivers all the time. And you know what? Like, the cap is also kind of, and it's not just the Flames either. It makes the call-ups and the send-downs a little bit trickier too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I thought, you know, like, well, it's, We'll talk a little bit more about that here when we talk about last night's game. But the Islanders, Flames, the first road game in I don't even know how long, third road game of the year, I believe. And the Flames got off to like a super good start on Monday night. I was so, so impressed. I think weren't shots like 16-3 after one, and it was really good. And then the first shot goes in, and I saw Twitter explode.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm sick of the first shot going in too, but that was a damn good play.
That one was, yeah. Yeah, and I agree. Like, I think that was the best first period the team's probably played this season. It's exactly what we had said in terms of needing a road trip. Obviously, it hasn't gone like how we all hoped, but really, really, really strong start. And that, to me, like, yeah, whether that was the first shot, the fifth shot, the tenth shot, it didn't really matter in that circumstance.
I thought we were good. I thought we were good for the most part of this game. I think the second period was a little bit of a... I felt like we started to wobble later in the second period, and then the third period, I just had a horrendous gut feeling.
Yeah. I think the style of play is hard to maintain, too, in some cases. Like, to go that strong for 60 minutes straight is difficult, and that's where Sutter's trying to get this team, and would like to get this team. We'll talk more about what we think he's trying to do, but... it's just frustrating to see that effort waver as the game wears on.
What was your take on the non-call when Markstrom got hit?
I'm going to sound like a total homer here, but I thought it was ridiculous.
I did too. And
I think you have to call that.
I don't know how you don't.
Well, it just comes back to that whole mantra and mentality of like, you know, you got to protect the goalies. Apparently you don't, you know, like that there's absolutely no need to that play at all.
Do you think that played a role into Markstrom last night when he kind of tried to stick his butt out to hit one of the Devils? Oh, yeah. I thought it was a pretty cut and dried play. I thought it was an easy penalty call that was just flat out missed. It changed the outcome of the game. And I thought Anderson's was a penalty. And I hate it that it was called when you didn't call the Markstrom.
Yeah.
But
they're both flagrant penalties. You know about the cross check?
Yeah, it was a dumb penalty to take. I was mad when they first called it because I'm like, well, how the hell do you call that when you didn't call this? But you know, thinking about it more, it's like, well, what's Anderson doing there? You know?
Well, it's just dumb frustration, total lack of discipline, right?
Huberto gets hurt in this game, and I don't know if you saw it live when he kind of went into the boards with his arm.
Yeah.
And then was moving his arm, and I saw him on the bench again, like checking it all over. And you could tell it was something was bothering him in his arm.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It looks like he tweaked something.
Yeah. And then last night, Calgary heads on into New Jersey, loses 3-2, and Huberdeau does not play. I thought last night we started, it was a mirror image. We freaking started out great again. And then when Toffoli scored that beautiful goal in the third, I thought, clutch. That's the Toffoli we need. Yeah. That's the Toffoli we've been wishing for and hoping for all year.
Yeah.
Then Markstrom lets in an awful one. An awful one. And there is, you're not going to win hockey games allowing goals like that. You're just not.
No. And I saw in Sportsnet they kind of defended the decision to start Markstrom back to back. I never, ever, ever, ever agree with the goaltender playing back to back nights. I just don't like it. I think it's unnecessary. The goaltending position is very hard in the body. I'm just not a fan. And in this particular instance, I didn't see any need to do it. I mean, the whole idea is to get Vladar start a week. Well, there should be some logic behind which start that's going to be, right? So, but yeah, that goal cannot.
Double-edged sword. Like, I'm not as adamant about the back-to-back as you are. And I got another friend that's extremely adamant about you never do that. Mm-hmm. I do it in certain situations. I think you got to read the situation. And I kind of get what Sutter was doing there. Only everything that this team has done has backfired. Yeah. Literally backfired. Yeah. And like, I'm not happy with Markstrom's play this year. I think he's had blips of greatness, but a lot of not good.
Yeah.
And I fully expect Vladar to start in Boston tomorrow night. And I don't know that we don't see Vladar again on Saturday night against Winnipeg.
You know what? I think for a team that's struggling, and this isn't just an indictment of Markstrom's play, which has not been good enough, but there's been a lot of goals that he didn't have a chance on. I would like to see them do that because I think for a team that's struggling this badly, it's important to change something. And I brought this up like 100 times now. Vladar Kefuva's starts last year were some of the best goaltending performances we saw. So if you want to send a message to the team, it's not about Markstrom just playing poorly. You're all playing poorly. Something has to be done differently. So we're going to give this guy a couple games and see if he can bail us out. Start to build some kind of confidence.
Hey, let's face facts. We both know that Markstrom's going to be our guy down the stretch.
Yep.
But right now he's not feeling it.
Nope, not at all.
I don't know why. I don't know how long it's going to last. But like, what better time to utilize what we all consider a very good backup in Dan Vladar?
One of the best in the league, I think. Just need more sample size.
So I'm hoping and praying for them to do that. And then let Markstrom just calm the hell down.
Yeah.
Just calm down.
Take his head out of it for a few days, you know?
Yeah. Injuries are worrying me. Huberto goes down. I got to get your take on this. He's favoring his wrist and arm. We both saw that. Everybody saw that. The team reports upper body injury. Sutter says he can't get his foot into his skate, and people also reported seeing him in a boot. What the hell's going on?
I have no idea. I saw the play where he apparently got injured. It looked like he just jammed up his wrist, his forearm, something to that extent. I have no idea. I do know that the time to call somebody up who deserves a call up is well past due, especially in light of an offensive player being injured.
How can we do it though? How can we do it?
How do you mean?
With cap, we can't send Ruziska down. He's going to get claimed.
You think?
Yes. Well, a big center?
Well, maybe one of the D's got to go down then to make room.
Who?
Take your pick. None of them are playing particularly. Actually, Gilbert, I thought, was pretty good.
I thought both of them played well last night. I think Gilbert was really good, actually.
Yeah, but I just don't think you necessarily need to carry all three for a night if you want to give somebody else a shot. But anyway,
I'm with you.
About the Huberdeau thing, like, I really don't know what to believe in terms of the extent of it. I think we'll know some more tomorrow, hopefully. I mean, usually these injuries take a few days to really kind of get your head around what's actually going on. And they can only hide from the media for so long. So,
has Huberdeau been injured for a long time?
I don't think. I think a lot of it was just trying to adjust to a completely different coach, completely different conference team, like all of that, I think. But I don't know. It's definitely a possibility because he just has – he does little things really well at moments in a game, but he has not played a full 60 minutes that I've seen.
And you don't come from Florida to Calgary and on the airplane ride here lose all your talent.
No, and my buddy who's a scout in the league said Huberdeau is probably the best player in the league along the boards. He said people don't even realize how good he is. And I believe him. I just haven't seen it yet. I've seen plays where he's really good along the boards, but the best player in the league at that particular task, haven't seen it yet.
Is this maybe a blessing in disguise to have him out for a couple games to maybe – like we said for Markstrom, take a step back.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's contingent on it being managed correctly, which to this point, I don't feel like it has been. So if I manage correctly, I mean, you know, some of the coaching issues that we'll talk about and also giving guys that deserve a chance to play up the lineup that opportunity. I think Rozicka, you know, playing on the top line, I didn't have an issue with that at all.
I thought he looked good last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, and I think that's the kind of thing that you want to do. But when you start to lean heavily on players who are very ineffective offensively, Trevor Lewis being one, although still, you know, playing well, but he's not going to go out there and score you a goal that you need. And Lucic, who is just absolutely floating and is directly responsible for one of the goals, that's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. So if Huberto being out would be a blessing if the personnel management was significantly better, and I think it's a pretty good segue to where we're going to go on that topic.
Lucic looks like he's got frickin' 500-pound weights strapped to his legs.
Not only that, his positioning is horrendous. He literally skated right in front of his own goaltender just long enough to screen him to allow a goal. And he's a winger. There was no need for him to be that deep. There was a D-man he could have been covering. He didn't do his job at all. If you're slow because you're big, because you're older, like, I can understand all that. But it looks like he's out there in a public skate. Like, he's a guy that I think has got to come out of the lineup for a game because he is playing very poorly and the message is not being sent to him.
So
that benching wasn't nearly enough.
This is exactly what we wanted to talk about with Sutter. And I've got to preface this. I've been like the biggest Daryl Sutter fan and yep. I still am.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to disagree that I'm going to agree with everything Daryl Sutter does. But I agree with 90% of what he does, and who the hell am I to disagree? He's the winner, and I'm on the couch, right? But
yeah.
But there's been some things that I think we need to talk about that I'm not seeing eye to eye on, and a lot of them have become really glaring in the last week. Now, I'm going to preface this by these people who are on Twitter saying, you know, fire Sutter. Wait a minute. This is a week ago. Everybody was saying he was the greatest coach in the league. So yeah. I think we all need to like take a breath, but exactly to your point, the Lucic thing, I don't get it, man. Last night we're down. Okay. They score the goal to go ahead of us last night.
Yeah.
And the bump shift after the goal is our fourth line.
Which that's a really, really, really bad habit of his.
I'm fine with it on nights when that fourth line's clicking, because it does some nights. It clicks some nights.
Sometimes, yep.
And I'm fine with that.
With your fourth line as a rule is not a coaching strategy. If they are feeling it, then it's a smart decision. You know? And I also want to back up your point just by saying, I mean, for everybody who's and you'll see this on Twitter, like if we were to tweet through Flames Unfiltered account that Sutter is doing a terrible job and they should consider his coaching change or whatever. That like obviously that's a little bit over the top, but at the same time, nobody is immune to criticism. I'm really good at my job. I still make mistakes and I have a few bad habits, you know? I hate that argument. It's like, oh, he's won, two Stanley Cups and whatever else. It's like, I realize all that. I realize all that perfectly well, but that does not mean that he gets a free pass for poor decisions when a team is struggling like the Flames are.
I did not like his line shuffle after the Edmonton game Edmonton loss. We're, 5-1 at that point, or 5-2 at that point, right? 5-2.
Yeah, after the Oilers lost 5-2, yeah.
And the next night, we get Lucic on the second line, and we got a freaking mess is what we got.
Yep.
There's an absolute I'm not saying our first, second, third, and fourth line was like clicking at a 5-5-1 record pace, but we were 5-1. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what our expectations were, that we were just going to be like the Harlem Globetrotters like we were the first period against the Colorado Avalanche in game one. I don't know, man. Like, to jumble them up that bad, I did not agree with.
No, I think it killed whatever positive momentum the team had. I mean, some tweaks here and there I can understand after a loss. I mean, but not in the context of your opening lineup, but in terms of, you know, a couple in-game adjustments, right? To me, it was a total overreaction. And by the time you reverted back, well, you'd already lost all that time to keep building that chemistry. It's going to take some serious time to build. You're not, you know, that whole top line, I mean, and I have my own feelings about how I would construct it, like we talked about before, but if that is what you're going to go with, you have to be patient with that. We didn't lose the Edmonton game or any of the games since because of those particular lines.
We didn't.
Not at all. Some soft goals, some poor defensive play, a lack of pushback, you know.
I don't think that we're not generating offense because of poor line placement. The fact of the matter is right now, Dubé's not very good. Mangiapane is not playing very good. Yep. Huberto's not playing very good. The only guys up front that I like right now, I like Toffoli. I like Lewis. I'm fine with what Rooney's doing.
Mm-hmm. Kadri's been fantastic.
Kadri and Backlund have been very good. Other than that, the rest has been a freaking ghost, man. Yep. When's the last, I mean, what's Andrew Mangiapane done this year?
Next to nothing.
But everybody's all over Huberto. Sign the big contract. He's not producing. Sign the big. So did Mangiapane.
Yeah.
Dubé, I think this is make or break for Dubé. I really do.
Well, like, he was my breakout pick, and he's right around where he should be, but there's no finish. You know, I mean, like around the net, I should say. Like you know, his play for 60 minutes leaves a lot to be desired, but I mean, offensively, the chances are there, but. That's what people do though. Like, oh, they get, you know, he makes so much money, signed the big contract. It's like, okay, these other guys are expected to do things too, and they're doing nothing.
I thought Dubé looked really good last night, but like you said, they're just.
Well, nobody's finishing. You know, Toffoli did, but I mean, like the team, like, and that's part of the thing. Like, there's a regression going here that'll correct itself. Like, shitty shooting percentages, a lack of high danger chances, all those things will self-correct to a point. What won't self-correct is poor lineup choices and holding people to different standards. And that's really the guts what's driving me insane, is that not everybody's held to the same standard on that team.
I know exactly what you mean by that. I don't think any team, any job, any situation will ever be perfect in proper merit all the time.
Not at all. And I make allusions all the time. My job's the same way. People are held to different standards, and I understand that to a point.
Now, I'm going to get you going a little bit, because I'm going to play devil's advocate this, because I think I'm almost positive we see differently on this. There is a ton of people pushing for more youth to be injected into this lineup. Mm-hmm. And Coach Sutter, we all know, does not like that. Now, I'm not a fan of it either, but I do think there is a time and a place. I don't want to not take a chance. I look back to the 89 year. I think a lot of Flames fans do, simply because freaking won.
And we're looking at it right now.
Yeah, I thought I'd put that on the backdrop today. It's like, spark some wins. We'll do anything we can here. I remember when they called Theo Fleury up.
Yep.
Now, he wasn't supposed to be on the team that year. And probably with the depth of that roster, is a lot like this year's roster. It's like, I don't really know where he fits. But he got called up, and he was given a chance. And he freaking grabbed the bull by the horns and forced their hand into keeping him, and he ended up being an impact player in the Stanley Cup Finals and the road to get to the finals. Probably more
and a hell of a player for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that we have, I think we have one guy in our organization that I feel like could step in and do that. And we could probably argue on who that, and you probably feel like there's more than that. I'm not ripping on our prospects by saying that. I just don't think there's a lot of guys in any organization that can step in and impact a deep team like I still believe the Calgary Flames are. But no, I think Sutter might have to like swallow his pride on this one and at least throw somebody in. But I think it's tough with the way the cap is, because who do you risk losing to do that?
Well, I don't know in particular who it is, but I mean, it's going to be one of the defensemen, because I don't see who else it could be, right? Which wouldn't be such a big deal if Shillington was around, if Stone hadn't gotten hurt, you know. I think the answer to the question about who you call up is extremely obvious right now. And if people don't know, they haven't paid any attention to the Wranglers lately, but it's Matthew Phillips, which is a great parallel to Theo Fleury in teams in terms of size, but, they need offense. They're not getting any. And this is a guy who's signed the last contract he is ever going to sign with the Flames organization, in my mind, unless he gets an opportunity. I think he's played one NHL game, if I remember right.
Yeah, it was a charity game.
Yeah. Call him up, give him a chance. The guy's on a heater right now. Give him a shot.
I would like to see Connor Zary get a shot too.
He'll be up at some point this year. I just think if you want to inject somebody in the lineup right now, especially the guy with Huberto out, Phillips is red hot.
Yeah, no, he is. And I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I agree with you on that, Kyle.
But I do expect to see Zary this year as well at some point, either because of injury, because of resting players down the stretch, whatever it may be. But the problem with all of this, and like you made the point about swallowing pride, the problem that I have with it is that this is the time where guys deserve to sit because they are playing very poorly and they need to feel like their jobs are being threatened. Now, it's very early in the season. The sky isn't falling. The team's 500 at a point where they could be worse off and still make the playoffs. And I get all that. But I think messages need to be sent to guys like, okay, you are playing very poorly. I'm not just going to bench you for a period. You are not playing at all.
Yeah.
If the new guy that comes in doesn't play any better, well, you know, experience will win out. You'll be back in the lineup. If he comes here and, you know, goes on a tear, you're going to be fighting to get your job back.
So, you know, do you have a fear that we call up a Phillips or a Zary or a, those are probably the only two right now that I think would probably get a shot. Some people might argue that, but I think those are probably
maybe Pelche, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Do you have a fear of one of those guys coming up and it being a disaster and then that sours them? It is partially because Huberto was hurt, but I always feel like if you fill in a void because of an injury, there's a little less pressure on you. But when you're filling it to inject energy into a team that's lost six straight, that scares the hell out of me.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if a team as good as this Flames team, and I still believe they're a great hockey team, and I think you do too. But if we're looking for a – yeah, it's tough to say that right now. But
yeah.
But if you're looking for a Phillips to come in and save the day, holy shit. Are things that bad?
I think you're looking for somebody to come in and make an impact to wake the rest of the guys up.
You
know,
yep.
Nobody on the Wranglers is going to save the day. But, you know, somebody comes in and just makes guys feel more accountable, shows excitement to be in the NHL. Because I think there's a lot of complacency on that team right now. And I think that's...
Agree.
Yeah, that's what I have an issue with. I just think that everybody feels way too secure, and I think that's feeding that complacency. And I think also it's a great opportunity for the organization to see what they have in these players, right? Maybe Matthew Phillips turns into a Darren Hayter. Darren Hayter, if people don't remember, fantastic AHL player. Could not hack in the NHL. Played for Atlanta and I think Colorado. He'd go down to the A and score 30, 40 goals a year like a true pro. Could not
that
stick
in. Fun. No good score.
What? Yeah.
I liked him when he was on the Flames. I thought he was good. I thought he was effective.
Absolutely. And there's still fantastic pro hockey players. There's a lot more pro leagues than just the NHL. But when you take a guy like Matthew Phillips, and I'll keep harping on this because I think like I'm angry they haven't recalled him today somehow, some way, figure out the cap situation to make it happen. Like you got to find out what you have in these players, and you don't find that out by forcing them to stay in the AHL. He's proven he's a above a point of game player in the AHL. Give him a chance. Maybe he comes a trade ship. Maybe he plays effectively down the stretch and helps the team in a lesser role. Maybe it didn't work out and he's just going to walk away and go sign somewhere else, maybe in Europe this summer. We don't know, but what they're doing right now, we will never, ever know.
You're right. We will never know at this rate. At this rate, we will never know.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, one final thing on Sutter. I am worried a little bit by some of his maneuvering and I've watched this team this year and I feel like they're playing scared to turn over the puck.
Yeah.
Scared to make a mistake here, scared there. Is Sutter pushing? God, this sounds dumb to say because I think this was what makes the team good. But is he pushing too hard for perfection? Does he know that he lost two great players last year and was lucky enough to get them replaced with good players? And is he in the mindset of hell or high water, we're making this son of a bitch run to the cup and I don't care what happens along the way?
That's a hard one to answer. I mean, I find some of his comments in the media, as much as people love those sound bites, and I do too, I find they become a little bit tiresome. Like, I felt like in the summer, he made some really passive-aggressive remarks towards, like, Kachuk and Goudreau, which, you know, whatever. But then you go to the comment about Huberto and, like, you know, had to take a shit or something, and Frank Cervelli, so that didn't go over well in the locker room or whatever.
How does he know?
I don't think he knows anything. I think with that situation, it's like, I think he pushes. What's that?
I pray. Okay. I'm an old school guy. Like, I pray to God that there's not one conversation in that locker room about Huberto getting his feelings hurt because the coach said he took a shit.
Yeah.
Like, if that's happening in an NHL locker room, get the hell out now. Like, yeah, we cannot, I heard that today too. And I was like, first off, you're not in the locker room.
Yeah.
Second off, I don't know. I pray to God that's not true.
I think it is.
I love Sutter's comments, but I am a little afraid that he's preached the turnover thing to the point that he's scared the hell out of these players. I can relate it to the junior team we have here in town. We got a coach. He's in his second year. Seems like a decent coach. Seems like a decent guy. But he's, how do I word this? The hell or high water kind of coach where it's like, if you freaking screw up tonight, I'm cutting your ass or I'm trading you.
Yep.
And you know what? You can do that. But you can't do that every month.
You can do it a lot easier in junior than you can in the NHL. Because in junior, you have a lot more to prove. The NHL, you're established. Players can push back.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying though? You can only go to the, you know, the kick in the can in the locker room once in a while. You can't kick the can every freaking game. And then you start losing the locker room.
Well, and see, to your point, that's, I agree with you because I do think, first of all, it's amazing to me in one sense that Sutter wasn't implicated in any of those abusive coach situations we saw because he rides that line, from what I think anyway, really, really tightly, you know?
But if you talk to all the players though, they all say that he is your best friend too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Sutter's a guy that's like a, you know, a you fucking suck type coach.
No, I
tell you that. I think he makes it so you know that.
Like, oh, I agree. I would agree. Yeah.
Say anything.
Yeah. I just think like lately, just, you know, the comments, the media, it's getting a little bit tiresome and it's just kind of a broken record thing. And it's like his approach as a coach has led to tons and tons of success, but I think he's going to adapt a little bit to try and help him get out of this slump. So whether that means, you know, taking a day off from practice, maybe, or I don't know what it is, but I think you have to tweak your own behavior when it's the definition of insanity, right? Yeah. He's going to do something a little bit different. I still think he's a fantastic coach. I still think that this is going to be a real threat in the playoffs, no matter what the seeding's like, because the way that he coaches. But there's a lot of bugs to work out. And again, we cannot overstate the impact of these injuries too. Cause again, last year we had none.
We had none.
Like literally none. So now imagine this year you're playing, let's say you're, but Uyghur was paired with Zadorov, you know? So a year ago, Zadorov was a Gudbranson all year. Great pairing. They were terrible for the first month of the season and then they settled in and were fantastic. And now they're paired. Gudbranson's getting his head beat in Columbus. You know, got himself a great contract out of it, and I guess he's a hell of a teammate, so good for him. I'm not here to shit on Eric Branson. I love what he brought to the Flames. But all of a sudden, there's a bit of adversity for these guys that, you know, they played last year. The lines never changed. Well, now the lines have to change because guys have dropped out. Some guys have left. This team is very, very different. And again, we talked about this before. Throw in the injuries, throw in the new players. It's going to take some time to get the wheels underneath this thing.
I think you know I'm an old school guy, and I think, you know how much I believe in Daryl Sutter's system. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the tough love system. My only worry is I feel like in the last week I've seen a little bit of Daryl Sutter panic mode. And if anybody's going to stop that though and get this change around, I do believe it will be Daryl Sutter.
Oh yeah, I think so too. I think he's frustrated, and he should be frustrated. I mean, there's soft goals, there's bad giveaways, I don't think he's managing it very well in terms of his player usage, because some of these guys are playing way more than they should be, and way more importantly than they deserve to be. But I still think he's gonna pull the nose up. It's just, you know, it's a bit of a slog right now, and it's gonna take probably a big game from a guy like Dan Vladar or something like that to just inch your way out of this slump, you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be friggin' tough. Like, the last thing you want to do right now is play a team like the Boston Bruins, but that's what they have to do.
You know, the fan base this week, I'm angry. You're angry. We're all angry. Mm-hmm. And I see this stuff on Twitter, and all I kept thinking was, geez, let's not be Vancouver, guys. This is stuff Vancouver. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. And, you know, when you really think about it, and we just touched on this a second ago with expectations. I mean, did we really expect this year was going to be injury free? Did we really expect that the transition of Huberdeau coming was going to be just a flawless transition? Did we really think that everybody was going to have a career year just like last year? Like, we got so much panic going now and so much negativity going. It's almost like steamrolling. And I don't think the players spend a ton of time looking at Twitter, but they feel it. They know.
So, all the things you just said, apart from expecting anybody to have a career year, I do think Flames fans thought all those other things. They absolutely thought it. They all believe Huberdeau was going to step right in and be like the 115-point player he was last year. They were also used to not having injuries. I don't think they considered the possibilities of what injuries would look like on this team. Maybe also because they know how well-conditioned Daryl Sutter's teams are, so maybe they thought they wouldn't really have any. There's always a few, typically. I think that they bet the farm on a lot of those things continuing from last year, and none of them have so far.
But hearing some of the tweets,
it's brutal. God. And I don't want to shit on the fan base too much either, because obviously we're part of it, and I've tweeted some.
We are part of it. We're part of it.
I tweeted a bunch of negative things. I don't think I said a single positive thing last night. And there was some positive things.
I couldn't even find the words.
Yeah.
And I'm not ripping on the fan base for it. I think there's that 5% that goes way overboard. But I think part of that 5% is probably somebody trying to get a reaction too.
But watch how quickly they'll, and this is what drives us crazy too. Watch how quickly that fan base will turn back. Like if, let's say they beat the Bruins 2-1 tomorrow night, like they'll just bang back to normal. Next loss, whatever. Like if this turns into like a 10-game losing streak, that's when I'll start to panic. Right now I'm pissed off and frustrated, but so far things are still going to be okay.
What if we win 6-1 tomorrow night? What happens?
We go get drunk, I guess. Like, it costs to celebrate.
If there is good news, and that's what we try to bring a little bit of it, you know, because, I mean, this has been – I'm not ripping on the fan base. I'm as negative too, but I do want everybody to kind of like, you know, calm down here. Like, we're still 5-2.
Yeah, and we have – just reel yourself in like anything else. You can stress out about anything and just chill out.
It's hard to chill out when things aren't going good.
Oh, I'm a total hypocrite right now because I'm losing my mind too a lot of the time trying to watch these games. But, you know, you got to look at the big picture, I guess.
We'll be back to preview this week's action ahead. Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com. All right, the road doesn't get any easier for the Calgary Flames. Is Thursday night, tomorrow night, they're in Boston. Boston, yeah, just 11-2-0, first in the Atlantic. Kind of a hard matchup when you've lost six in a row. We're coming off, the road is not getting any easier. But you just brought up a positive to that. What if we win? How quick does that change the attitude of the players even? And
well, especially beating a team like the Bruins.
Yeah. Does Dan Vladar start tomorrow night?
I think so. And again, it's not an indictment of Markstrom's play, although again, that winning goal, he has to have that. That's, NHL goaltenders don't allow that shot, but, it happened. But I think it's just about changing up some of the variables.
Saturday night doesn't get any easier as, Winnipeg comes to town. They're leading the Central. That'll be three straight games in a row against division leaders in the midst of a losing streak. Oof.
Yeah.
Not good. And then Monday night, the Los Angeles Kings come to town and, they currently sit third in the Pacific. And a Kings team that I think is really a pretty good.
Yep.
You know, really so it, the schedule doesn't get easier after the LA, we go out on a six game roadie out east. So, it's time to right the ship.
Something's going to give in the next couple, I'd say before Monday's game against the Kings. I expect they'll beat one of the Bruins or Jets, ideally both, of course, but, and actually I was just thinking of, you know, the Bruins are Vladar's old team, another reason that start makes sense. And a team that, you know, decided to move on from him, so maybe that's some extra motivation. But yeah, it's a tough schedule. It's not getting any easier, as you said, but, the only way to get through it is to force your way through it, right? So.
Yeah. God, do we take for granted when we're winning? Don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all do, right? I mean, it's like.
As a fan, I don't know. I hadn't thrown a remote for over a year, and I chucked it into the couch the other night. I'm like, I don't know. I'm frustrated. I know you are.
I tossed one aside like 3 years ago. It was an overtime game, actually against the Bruins, and David Rittich let in the goal. Flames lost. I tossed a remote and I hit the cat in the head and I still feel bad. I didn't even know he was there.
No.
Terrible.
I broke a remote a long time ago. Not like I whipped it across the room or anything like that, but I broke a remote. And so now when I don't usually throw it. I usually just kind of like slam it down on the couch where it's
cooking. I toss it like really gingerly. Like I don't chuck it. And that's what happened when I hit the cap, but I still felt bad. But I have to, it's like my phone for work too. I can't just like set it down. I gotta just chuck it.
Yeah.
It'll land somewhere safely. It's all by design.
But it's still,
that motion helps.
It gets that anger out, doesn't it?
I don't want to talk about my feelings. Just let me throw something.
Kyle, this is, these shows are a lot different for us when we're not winning.
Yeah, we don't use any structure at all.
No, we just kind of go, and that's probably the best, is no structure. And, you know, it's tough when you know that you should be, you know this team's good. Like, I know this team's good.
Yeah, we'll do.
God.
You know, it's not perfect, but it's a deep team. It's a team that has, you know, a number of issues right now that need to be, apart from injuries, you know, the uncontrollable things. It's going to get better. Mostly because it has to.
It is going to get better. And, we're back again next week. And, let's hope the worst is behind us. And that next week we can have a fun show talking about maybe a 3-game winning streak. And I don't know.
Wow.
Next week we are going to. We're gonna go through players next week, and we're gonna give them letter grades.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't do it tonight, because it wouldn't look good.
Yeah, bad day at school, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle and I are back next week. Calgary Flames Hockey Talk every week. Flames Unfiltered. Boy, this week, the sun will come up tomorrow, and we'll get out of this mess. We will, I promise. get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood. And host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
We call them playoffs! Yeah, baby! Playoffs! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.